Okay, good morning. Today's daf Nazir Nun Test. We are Nun Chesim and Beis, and we are winding down the end of the eighth parak of the Masechta, and we're winding down to the end of the Masechta. One more week to go here in the seventh parak. So a lot of problems and solutions. The Mishnah opened up with two Nazir, and one of them becomes Tameh, and what to do. In other words, we don't know which one of them became Tameh, and how do we resolve the Nazirs of the two of them? Good, so that was the problem, and then the Mishnah gave us a solution, and in the course of the solution, the Gemara has been spending a couple of days, and one more day, today's daf, discussing hair removal. In other words, we know that to take a razor and to put it to either your head or to your beard, so that's an issue in the Torah. Okay, that part's clear. There are a lot of parts that are not clear, but that part's absolutely clear. With that stated, so if a Nazir is in fact not a Nazir, right, in other words, like our Mishnah, in the case of Sfeikos, so then for him, as part of the solution, to take a blade and to run it across his head and his face, so that would result in an issur daraisa. So the Gemara says, so how does that work? So good. The Gemara has been discussing that issue now for the last couple of days with various resolutions to that problem. Today's daf is going to be unbelievably interesting as the Gemara now is going to turn to its attention. It's going to stay on the topic of hair removal, but now deal with a different problem, a different issue, and that is that if a man were to remove hair from his body, that may be a violation of simlas isha. Torah says that a man is not allowed to wear a woman's clothing, and a woman's not allowed to wear a man's clothing. And what you and I would call cross-dressing. Cross-dressing is not limited to just clothing, but it's also behavior as well. If a man were to engage in behavior that's exclusively in the domain of a woman, so that's also going to be a violation of the Torah. Now, I say that as if it's a Dover Pashut, it's absolutely obvious and simple. As we'll see in the course of today's daf, it's not going to be that simple, it's not going to be that obvious. The topic of today's daf is going to be really interesting. The Gemara is going to give us a lot of mixed messages regarding what exactly is in the parameter of Simlas Isha. And so it's going to be fair to say that after we go through today's daf, and I'm going to go through it too quickly, because that's the way Daf Yomi works. So what's going to end up happening is that it's going to be hard to arrive at any real serious conclusions just going through the daf itself. So just cautioning everybody on the front end. The Gemara is interesting. A lot of positions are going to be thrown at us. And from the Gemara itself alone, by today, we're not going to arrive at any conclusion. Let's begin the Gemara. Amar Rav Mekel Adam Kol Gufa Betara. So we start off with a statement by Rav, and that is that you could take a razor and run it across your entire body. Now, Rav is making the statement not vis-a-vis Nazir, but again, just go back to my introduction, the Gemara now is moving to the topic of cross-dressing. The Tosos. First, Tosos on Mishum Lo Yilbash Gever. In other words, this is now going to be, according to Rav, not a violation of Simlas Gever, meaning Rav says that you're allowed to do so. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara immediately challenges Rav. So the Braisa says that if I remove hair from under the armpits and from the Beis HaErva, the private area, so that is considered something that within the domain of a woman. And therefore, the Braisa says that if you do that, you meaning the man, so then you're in violation of the Issur Torah, and loka presumably means Malkus, Malkus min HaTorah. So Habatar ben Misparayim. So the Gemara says we're going to make a distinction between a razor and scissors, meaning a razor would be Aser, that's the Braisa. And what Rav says, that's Mutter, is Misparayim, that's going to be with scissors. Rav Nami Bitar Kamar. So the Gemara says, now Rav's implication is that even with a razor would be okay. So the Gemara says, Kain Tar. No, when Rav said razor, he didn't mean razor. He meant something that is similar to a razor, meaning it's going to be close. But in other words, but he meant it with scissors, not with a razor. I know he said razor, but he meant scissors. It's Kain Tar. The result looks like it was done with a razor. Good. So now, number one, I told you, it's going to be confusing only because, as we're going to see, we're going to be thrown a lot of different positions. So number one, we have the opinion of Rav. And so Rav says now, as per the Gemara's conclusion, that to basically to cut off the hair of your body would be fine for a man, provided it's done with scissors, not with a razor. Okay. And that's not going to be a violation either, Bryce. So the Bryce says that removing the hair from armpits and the private area is in fact going to be an isser. The Gemara says, yeah, the Bryce was talking about with a razor, not with scissors. Okay. I'm considering, I, again, I just, there's going to be so much information in the next couple of minutes. considering the fact that we're no longer talking about Nazir and his head and the beard, and we're only talking about what is considered manly activity versus woman, female activity. So it's a little bit difficult to understand this distinction between razors and scissors. Meaning, remember now, we're no longer talking about the Isser Torah of shaving, the Isser Torah of cutting off your pants. We're now just simply talking about what is considered feminine versus masculine. Okay, so it's just difficult to understand what this far would be. And by the way, for an entirely different reading of our Gemara, so see Tosos, not on this Amud, but on the upcoming Amud. On Nun Tes Amud Aleph, I'm not going to go through it together this morning, but an entirely different reading of the Gemara is brought down by Tosos about two-thirds of the way down. Okay. And in that alternative reading, the distinction is not between razor and scissors, but again, I'll just try to keep it as simple as possible. So the Gemara now brings in the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that the removal of the hair from Beis HaShech and Beis HaErva is in fact subject to Malkus. Meisve, the Gemara challenges, Havara Seara Eina Medivre Torah Lemedivre Sofrim. Meanwhile, the Gemara quotes the Brisa. The Brisa says that removal of hair is not in Issa Torah, but rather only in Issa Derabbanan. So the Gemara says, My Lokad Nami Dekamer Midderabbanan. The Gemara says, when Rav Yochanan says that you're going to get Malkus, that means only Midderabbanan, not Mina Torah. He uses the words Loke, but he meant Midderabbanan. So that way that Rav Yochanan and the Brisa now are working together, they're operating together. Okay. Is Rav Yochanan agreeing with Rav or disagreeing with Rav? Again, a new discussion. Tosos clearly is of the position that Rav Yochanan is arguing with Rav. Tosos, the last line, Rav Yochanan apis misparaim oser. Omashma de Rav Yochanan palagat de Rav. I mean, when Rav Yochanan says that there's going to be an iser for a man to remove a hair from his body. And again, when I say body, by the way, specifically the Beis HaShech and the Beis HaErva, because that's generally speaking in the domain of women, they do that. So Tosos' assumption is that Rav Yochanan's iser is both for scissors and for a razor. And Tosos assumes now that Rav Yochanan is arguing with Rav. Okay, hold that thought. And because later in the daf, we're going to see that this idea of Tosos, that Rav Yochanan's arguing with Rav, is going to be supported by a Gemara that we're going to see just a few minutes from now. Igad Amr, the Gemara brings in another version. We're on the top of the Nentesimat Aleph. Am Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Mavir, Beis HaShech, Beis HaErva, Loke, Mishum Lo Yubash Gever, Simlas Isha. Now here, in this alternate version of Rav Yochanan says that when you remove hair from the Beis HaShech, Beis HaErva, you're subject to Malkus, and then he quotes a Pasuk. As Tosfos points out over here, by him now quoting a Pasuk in this alternate version, clearly what we suggested just moments earlier that Rav Yochanan was talking about, Midrabanan, that can't be. In other words, if you're quoting a pasuk, so then your position seems to clearly be that it's an Issa Daraisa. So Meisvei Avar Seirin Midivrei Torah LeMidivrei Sofrim. So now the Gemara quotes the Brisa, and here the Brisa says it's an Issa Derabanan, and now we know already we can't answer the way we just answered earlier that Rav Yochanan only meant Midrabanan, not Midaraisa. So the Gemara says, okay, in this alternate version, we're going to have to give a different defense of Rav Yochanan. The Gemara does so. Hu da'amar ki aitana detanya mavir beis hashecha beis ha'erva ha'reza over mishum lo yubash gever simlas isha. Okay. So in this other brisa, this brisa is of the position that the removal of the hair from these areas is in fact an issa daraisa. So when Rav Yochanan says it's an issa daraisa, he's following this brisa. The other brisa that says it's not Issa Deraisa, but only an Issa Derabanan. Yeah, Rav Yochanan doesn't follow that brisa, but rather the brisa that we just cited. Okay. In this alternate version, by the way, now it comes out even stronger. Meaning not only is Rav Yochanan going to be arguing with Rav, but not only that, Rav Yochanan's going to be out of the position that's an Issa Deraisa to remove hair from those areas. V'tanakama ha'ilo yobash gever ma'idarish beis. So the Gemara says, okay, go back a brisa. Meaning not the brisa we just quoted, but two brises ago. Right, the Gemara calls it the Tanakama, but okay. Tosfos points out over here we're going to use that term loosely, meaning it's not one brisa, two positions. It just simply means the previous brisa. Fine, but according to the previous brisa, so removing hair from the armpit and the private area is not an Issa Daraisa. So now we have a pasuk. What do you do with the pasuk? What's your interpretation of the pasuk? Meaning the Gemara's assumption over here is that the pasuk has more than just its simple meaning. And so where do you go beyond the simple meaning? So the Gemara says, Mibayla lechadetanya. So the previous brisa now is going to be coordinated with this brisa. And that is, lo yekli gevra alisha. So the Gemara says, look, this brisa says, look, I can't understand the Torah kipshuto. Meaning, if all the Torah is telling us is that a man is not allowed to wear women's clothing and a woman is not allowed to wear man's clothing, it can't be just that. Why? Because look at the end of the pasuk, the conclusion of the pasuk, where the Torah describes it as a toeva. Now, toeva, right, in English, would translate as an abomination. So the, right, didn't we recently just have a series of Gemaras where the Torah looked to translate and understand some of these more off-color remarks, off-color terms of the Torah, right? Zima, Toeva, right? That was Bar Kapara. Oh, anyway. So the Harei Kvar Nemar Toeva. So Toeva is telling me that there must be more than just simply putting on the other's clothing. So ve'ein kan toeva ala shelo yilbashi simlas isha v'yeshev ben anashim isha simlas isha v'teisha ben anashim. So according to the Tanakhama of this brisa, so what do we learn from the pasuk? It's not just cross-dressing in of itself, which is yisod daraisa, but it's cross-dressing for the purposes of lascivious behavior. In other words, you're looking to look like a woman so that you can hang out with women. Similarly, you're a woman looking to be to look like a man so that you can hang out with men, obviously for the purposes of lewd behavior. That, says the Tanakhama, is the intent of the Torah vis-a-vis the Issa Daraisa of Simlas Gever. That is, and now what the Gemara is saying is that you're going to take this understanding and bring it back now to the previous Braisa. The previous Braisa that says that hair removal is not Issa Min HaTorah. What do you mean? In other words, if removing hair from the armpit and from the private area is feminine activity, so then why did the previous Braisa say it's not Issa Daraisa? That's what the Gemara is saying now. The Gemara is saying now is that this Braisa that we're learning together is that the looking like the other gender in of itself is not the problem. The problem is looking like the other gender for the purposes of conducting and behaving in lewd behavior. Okay. So now, as I pointed out, by the way, right, it's a little bit confusing now because in terms of the very basic definition of what is the Issa Torah of Simlas Gever, so now there are really a range of positions within the Gemara that we just outlined. Okay, it could be any time you're looking to look like the other gender, not only in clothing and dress, but even in behavior. Alternatively, no. In other words, it could be that it's not looking like the other gender in of itself is not the Isser, but specifically, it's when looking like the other gender for the purposes of behaving in a lewd manner. And then we're not done yet, meaning we're in the middle of a brisa, and the Gemara now is quoting another position within this brisa. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Amar Minayin Shelotetz Isha Bechli Zayin LeMilchama. So here, according to the Shita, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, how do I know that a woman is not allowed to go out with any kind of weaponry? So Tamalomer Lo Yekli Gever Alisha V'Lo Yobash Gever Silmas Isha Shelo Itakin Ish B'Tikuni Isha. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov takes a more expansive viewpoint of what the Isser, what's incorporated in the Isser, according to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, for a woman to go out with any kind of weaponry, so that is going to be a violation of the Torah. Meaning, since men are the ones who are carrying weapons, and women don't normally carry weapons, so then, for a woman to go out armed, that would be a violation. Similarly, according to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, if you have a man doing anything that is generally what a woman does in terms of appearances, that also would be a violation. Obviously, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov now has the more expanded viewpoint of any time you're looking to do or behave like the other gender, so that's going to be incorporated in the Isser. Fine. So again, machlok is between the Tanakhama and Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, and the whole point of the Gemara bringing in this brisa is to tell us that the Tanakhama of this brisa can be understood in the context of the previous brisa that we quoted. Okay. Really interesting mafarish over here. I told you everything in today's off is interesting. Really interesting mafarish over here. The mafarish, right, don't cite him normally, but he made such an interesting comment over here. So he says that that Yael, when she killed Sisera, so by design, she didn't take a weapon. Really a fantastic statement. Meaning that if for her to take a weapon, that would be a violation. So what did she do? She took the peg of a tent. Peg of a tent is not a standard classic weapon. Okay. And that's why she used it. Okay.
women in the army is...
As far as the halachic conclusions are concerned, again, the Gemara is throwing out a lot of different positions. So over here, I'm nowhere near prepared to make any kind of conclusions, just right now going through the range of positions, right? Okay. So Amar of Nachman Menazim Mutter. Okay, fine. So now, as we have been going now over the Isser, the possible Isser of removing hair from the armpits in the private area, so the Gemara says now the following. The Gemara quotes Rav Nachman Menazir Mutter. Now this is a really interesting statement, and the Gemara doesn't explain. But what Rav Nachman is saying is the following. If a Nazir already removing the hair of his head, right, as part of the conclusion of his Nazirus, so while you're doing that, you know, the Nazir can go ahead and remove the hair from his armpits and from his private area. What do the two have to do with one another? So Tosfos over here explains, it's difficult, even with Tosfos, it's difficult for me to understand, but Tosfos explains, first I have to find the Tosfos, there it is. So Benazir Moter, Tosfos is, third Tosfos down, fourth Tosfos down, okay, I don't know, the third Tosfos down. So Benazir Moter, Lahavir Beis HaShechah Beis HaEva Tekasavar, Acharei, Shenazir Mavir Kol Tzei Arosho, Lo Chashiv Noi, V'tikon Lagabi Oso Ha'ish, Lahavir HaShechi, Ubeis HaEva. Look, in other words, he's currently right now grooming, but he's not grooming, meaning he's removing all the hair of his head because the Torah says that's what you do when you conclude your Nazirus. Ah, so at that point in time now, no longer is it noi. It no longer is beautification. And so once you're there anyway, so you can go ahead and remove the hair of the armpits and the private area. Okay, I don't fully understand it, but that's the way Tosfos understands our Gemara. And then the Gemara just simply says, "Vale sivchasa kavase." And oh, by the way, that's not the accepted halacha. Meaning, this proposal of Rav Nachman that a nazir can go ahead and shave under his circumstances, the Gemara says it's not true. I'm sorry, it's not an accepted position. Okay. Amale Rabban le Rabbi Shimon bar Abba Chazina le Rabbi Yochanan de Leisle. So the Gemara makes the following comment, and that is that we saw Rav Yochanan, right? They were in the Shvitz together. And Rav Yochanan doesn't have any armpit hair. Okay? Shocking. Right? It's not just an allegation. Right? It's verified. So the Gemara says, Amalu machma zikna nashro. So he says to them, yeah, it's because I'm an old man. And so, all right, when you get old, so the hair tends to fall out. And he says, I lost the hair under my armpits because I'm an old man. Tosfos points out over here, this supports what I said earlier. What did Tosfos say earlier? That according to Rav Yochanan, the removal of the hair is asur, both with a razor and with scissors, right? That's Tosfos' understanding of Rav Yochanan. And now Tosfos over here points out, good, this corroborates what I said previously. Because over here, Rav Yochanan had an absence of hair in his armpit. Okay. In delicate discussion, but it's okay, that's fine. So so if in fact there is a distinction to be made between razor versus scissors, so then you could have just simply said that the hair was removed via scissors and not through a razor. You could have said that. The Gemara didn't say that. Rather, the Gemara gave an alternate explanation. Old age. The hair just simply fell out because of old age. Tosfos says, you see, in other words, if there was a distinction between razor and scissors, Rav Yochanan would have just simply said, or somebody would have defended Rav Yochanan by saying, hey, he removed it with the scissors. Let's be down the kafzchus. That wasn't even put on the table. It's because, says Tosfos, Rav Yochanan does not see a distinction between razors and scissors. Another, a couple more stories for today, for the first Amud. How would this Chayv Nagida come into Rabbi Ami? Okay, so somebody was Chayv Malkus, going to the court of Rabbi Ami. The Gemara doesn't give us any details, but he was Chayv Malkus. And Igle Beis HaShechi Chazir Delo Megaleach. And what happened was is that as he was getting Malkus, right before he was getting Malkus, so he raised his arms and there was hair. In other words, he had hair in his armpits. And so Amar Lohun Rabbi Ami Shivkua Dein min chavrayhu. So Rabbi Ami said, let's spare the man from Malkus. He's a frum guy. And so therefore, let's not give him Malkus.
This was Malkus.
Ah, okay. So if we're talking about Malkus d'oraisa, so just because you're a frum guy, that in of itself doesn't relieve you from Malkus d'oraisa. Meaning if you did something that warrants Malkus d'oraisa, you need to get Malkus. And just because you also happen to, you know, be observant, In other areas of halacha, so what? A number point out, all right, I saw it was quoted by Rav Yaakov Emden. I didn't see it inside. But in other words, this is not Malkus d'oraisa, this is Malkus d'rabbanan. Again, the Gemara doesn't give us many details. But let's, Rav Yaakov Emden says, let's assume that's Makas Midrabanan. So then good. So then there is a, there is a executive decision that can be made by the Beis Din. And Rabbi Ami felt that under these circumstances, in other words, he thought that the person really needed an attitude adjustment.
There was no Malchus device in the time of Rabbi Ami.
Okay, also. Right, very, very. So he felt like he needed an attitude adjustment. But once he saw that this person wasn't flippant about halacha, so then Rabbi Ami says, you know what? Maybe he doesn't need such an attitude adjustment. Okay. I'm going to present the Gemara like Tosos. I mean, the whole daf today I presented like Tosos. So the Baimine Rav Mi Rabbi Chiamal Legalech. So Rav asks the following question from his uncle. And the way Tosos understands it is as follows. Sometimes the hair grows under your armpits in the private area to the point where it's uncomfortable. So I'm not cutting it because of appearances and beautification, right? This is not cosmetics. It's just simply, it's uncomfortable. Can I cut it because it's uncomfortable? Right? That's the way Tosus understands the Gemara's question over here. So Amalei Aser, so Rabbi Chia says to Rav, no, can't. So Amalei V'haka Gadel, yeah, but it's really growing. And again, the way Tosus understands it, it's really uncomfortable. Meaning, isn't it going to grow out of control? So Amalei Barpachte Zman Yeshlo, Kozman Shu Gadel No Share. And so Rabbi Chia's answer, again, as understood by Tosus, is nah. In other words, the hair on the head grows uncontrollably. Right? The hair on the face grows uncontrollably. But the hair on the rest of the body doesn't grow uncontrollably. It grows up to a point. If it grows too long, it falls off. Okay. And it's a funny back and forth in the Gemara, meaning what they're arguing about was whether or not hair is uncomfortable. It's not uncomfortable. It grows out of control. It doesn't grow out of control. Right? Definitely, the Gemara needs more clarification. But of course, we're going to go on. Okay. What if I'm not removing the hair using an instrument, but what if I'm just scratching the area? In order to remove the hair. Is that going to be okay? So Amar Lei Aser. So he says he can't do that. In other words, you can't scratch the area for the purposes of removing the hair. If you have an itch, obviously you scratch it, but if your whole purpose of scratching is to remove hair, you can't do it. Bibigdo Mahu. So then Rav says, okay, but what if you don't do it with your hand, but you do it via a beged? In other words, you're using clothing. The clothing right now is in between your hand and the scalp, or your hand and wherever the part of the body is that you're scratching. Would that be okay? So Amalei Motor, so he says, no, that would be acceptable. That would be fine. Again, it's very difficult. It's just difficult to understand, right? If the issue over here is this is a feminine activity and removing the hair is a feminine activity, what difference does it make? Whether it's direct, right, skin-to-skin contact or whether there's a beged that's intervening, it's very difficult to understand. Igadamri, now, in another version of this exchange between Rabbi and Rabbi Chia, Baimine B'tfila B'bigdamai, the question over here had nothing to do with beged simlas gever and cross dressing and that wasn't the context of the discussion, but rather the context of the discussion was the tefillah, meaning you're in the middle of davening, you're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei right now, and to touch private areas of your body is out of the question. In other words, your hands have to be naki, they have to be clean, and if you were to touch your armpits, if you were to touch a private area, so they're no longer clean, and you're no longer in a state to daven. Right? Before davening, we wash our hands. Okay? Right now, the discussion, we're not going to discuss it, but I'll bring it up. You wash your hands before every davening, specifically before shacharis. Okay. Discussion. But meanwhile, though, the whole point is that your hands have to be clean for davening. For you to take your hands now and to touch the dirtier areas of your body while davening, that's out of the question. Now that's out of the question, so what is in the question? I'll tell you what's in the question. What if you're not touching it directly, but rather through clothing? So my Amalei Aser. And the Gemara says on that, Rav Chia's response to Rav was, no, you can't do it, not even with clothing. And the Gemara says, no, by the way, that's not the accepted halacha. Meaning in the middle of tefillah, if you need to scratch your underarm, your private area, and it's with clothing, that you're allowed to do. That's the Gemara's conclusion. Okay. All right. As I said in the front end, I went through the Gemara way too quickly. And as far as halachic conclusions are concerned, you saw that the Gemara was throwing out a lot of positions. So really, the truth of the matter is that it's such an interesting daf, but, right, I caution everyone, myself, and everybody not to arrive at any conclusions, as the Gemara did not say enough definitive statements. In other words, for the halacha, you need to do a lot more. Right? Rishonim, Shulchan Aruch, you know, the usual. Okay. All right. Nun Tes Amud Beis. So here we are now with the next Mishnah. Okay, so let's go back because we're heading back to the previous Mishnah. Let's remind each other. What happened in the previous Mishnah? So two men were Nazirim. After having learned the Gemara, by the way, I'm probably incorrect by saying that they were men. They were women. Okay, but if you chazered over the Gemara, you would understand my comment. But anyway, two men, I'll say it simple. Two men were Nazirim, and somebody from a distance said, wait one second, I just saw an exposure of Tumah to one of you two, I don't know which one. Okay. And then, so the problem, as we were introduced to in the beginning here of the eighth parak of Nazir, is that now one of them is a Nazir Tahor and the other one's a Nazir Tamei. How do we successfully conclude Nazirs for the two of them? So if you remember, so the solution actually, not so complicated, a little bit complicated, but not so complicated. What we're going to do is that we're going to wait 30 days. And right, so that we're assuming the Nazirus is a 30-day Nazirus. We're going to wait 30 days. And after counting 30 days, we're going to bring two sets of karbanos, one for Nazir Tamein and one the other for Nazir Tahor. And we will just simply say, whoever needs those karbanos for the Nazir Tamein, good, there it is. And whoever needs the Nazir Tahor karbanos, there it is. And then you wait another 30 days. You bring one round of karbanos for Nazir Tahor, and you just simply apply it to whoever needs it. Okay. That was the problem and solution in the first Mishnah. Now, in our Mishnah, the problem is going to be compounded. The Mishnah writes, Meisach and Mehen. Now, again, we're going to start off like I just set up, but before anything else happens, one of those two died. So we had two Nazir, and one of them was exposed to Tuma. We don't know which one of them was exposed to Tuma. And now we would have done the solution as outlined in the first Mishnah, but now a new wrinkle in the problem, and that is one of the Nazirim died. So now you have a surviving Nazir who may or may not be Tameh. That's called a problem. Problem compounded. So Meisach HaMehem, I'm Rav Yehoshua. So Rav Yehoshua says, okay, here's my solution to the problem, and that is get a good friend. Now I say it's a good friend because you're going to be asking them a big favor. Okay, and so when asking a big favor, so there you need a good friend. So get a good friend. I'm Rav Yehoshua Yivak Shechem and Ashok Shiyidra Kenegda Benazir. So and you say to him as follows. Here, I have to conclude my Nazirus, but the problem, of course, is that I don't know if I'm Tamei, I don't know if I'm Tahor. And so here's what I would like you to do. I'd like you to declare yourself to become a Nazir. And so therefore, you and I are going to be in this together. And now that you have him alongside you, then see above. Go back to what we said earlier. Benazir v'Omer im Tamei Yisi. Hare ata nazir miyad. V'im tara yisi. Hare ata nazir acher shoshim yom. So, if I, in fact, was tamei, so then what we're going to do is that we're going to take these kabanos. You accept upon yourself nazirus immediately. And if, in fact, I was tahor, so then what you're going to do is you're just simply going to postpone your nazirus. From Shoshim, and now what you're going to do is you're going to count 30 days of Mavi and carbon tum of a carbon tahara. And now I'll say it. See above. You'll bring two sets of carbonas, one for tum and one for tahara. V'omer. Imaniya atame, hu atame, carbon tum shaliva, carbon tahara shalcha. So if I'm the tame, so then the carbon tum will be for me and the carbon tahara will be for you. V'imani hu atahor. But here it gets a little bit trickier. Now let's say I was tahor. So now we have a set of carbon tuma, right? In the previous case, before somebody died, it definitely can be applied towards somebody. Here in our case, even though you have a loyal friend who accepted Naziris to help you out, but the carbon tuma now may not be applicable to either one of us. Certainly not my friend who never became tame. And as far as I'm concerned, I also may not have become tame. So now what? And now as far as the carbon tumah is concerned, so that's going to be brought bisafik. Okay. This part admittedly is a little bit tricky. Okay, remember what the carbonos are for a carbon tumah? So it's going to be an ola, a chatas, and an asham. Right. Now the ola and chatas are going to be a pair of birds, and the asham obviously is an animal. I say obviously. Okay. So the so it gets a little bit tricky, right? Meaning the pair of birds that are the Chatas Ola. So can they be brought al Safek? The answer is yes, they can. The Chatas bird, even though it's being brought al Safek, but it's a bird, a Chatas bird can be brought al Safek. The Kohen's not going to be eating it, but nevertheless, it's going to be brought al Safek. The Asham animal, can you bring that via Safek? The answer, of course, is no. For whatever reason, the Mishnah nor the Gemara makes this point, and it's a really, say, seems to be a pretty essential point. But nevertheless, the assumption, right, the Mefarish says it, the and that is that the you're even in this solution, you're not going to be bringing the Karban Asham. So you'll bring the Chatas Anola bird, and it'll be brought as a Safek, and okay. And even though, just speaking it out, even though really now it's an incomplete set of karbanos, meaning for the Nazir Tameh, there are three karbanos that are required, and over here, you're only bringing two of the three. So it's an incomplete set. Okay. And apparently, I mean, again, the Mishnah of the Gemara doesn't mention anything about this, but apparently, even though it's incomplete, you're still going to get a check. Okay. So, Visofrim Shoshim Yom. Okay, so now that was after the first 30 days. Now you're going to do is you're going to count another 30 days. Because remember that the set for the Nazir Tameh is over. But now that Nazir Tar that you bought after round number one, so that was applicable to only one of the two. Oh. So now as we get to the second round, same thing. So Mivin Karban Tar Vo, Mimiani Atameh Karban Tumah Shaliva Karban Tar Shocha. Vizek carbon tara si viamani emani o atar carbon tara shaliva carbon tuma besafik vizek carbon tara scha. Okay, so the fine, and then we're just going to go over the two possibilities. Either in the first round when the carbon tara was brought, that was for you, and therefore this carbon tara is for me. Alternatively, the first carbon tara, the first carbon tara was for me, and then this carbon tara is going to be for you. Right, my loyal friend. Okay.
If you could bring a carbon tomb of a Suffolk, why do you need a second person? Just have the first guy bring a carbon tomb of a Suffolk, and a month later bring
your... Amr lo ben Zoma. Okay, to David's question. Amr lo ben Zoma, Misha me'elo shiyadu kenegda ben Azir. So ben Zoma says, look, first of all, you're going to need a really good friend. And who's got a really good friend? Okay.
Fine.
Ella, maybe chatzos ovelos behema. So Ben Zoma says that a solution can be arrived without introducing another person. Do it yourself. And here's how you'll do it. So you're going to bring a Chatzas Of and Olas Behemoth. Meaning after the first 30 days, so the Chatzas Of bird, so that is for the possibility that you were tummy. Good. And Olas Behemoth. Now Olas Behemoth, in other words, that's on the possibility that you were Tahor. Okay. The Omer, and you stipulate, Im tamei ayisi achatas mechovasi, v'haola nedava. Now, if in fact I was tamei, so then the chatas obviously is going to be serving as my obligation, and as far as the ola animal is concerned, nedava, it's a gift. V'im tara ayisi, now if in fact I was tahor, so haola mechovasi, so then the ola will be part of my obligation, v'achatas misafik. And again, it's a bird chatas can be brought safik. V'sofer shoshim yom. Now what you're going to do is you're going to count 30 days. Umevi karban tahara. And then afterwards you're going to bring a set of karban tahara. V'omer. Im tamei ayisi ha'ola rishona nedava. Now if in fact I was tamei, that first ola was a nedava. V'zu chova. And now this is going to be my obligation. V'im tahara ayisi. Now if in fact I was tahara, ha'ola rishona chova. So the first ola that I brought was going to be towards my obligation. V'zu nedava. And this animal that I'm bringing now, meaning of the three that I'm bringing right now, is going to be a nedava, vizeh shar karbani, and the other two are going to be towards my obligatory karbanos. Okay. So Ben Zoma says that a solution can be done without having to introduce somebody else. Okay. Now, Amar Rabbi Yeshua nimsas emevi karbanosav lechatzayim. Now, Rabbi Yeshua says, wait one second. In the Ben Zoma solution, so did you see what happened? In other words, on the side that he was never tamei, so now the old animal is brought after 30 days, and the other two animals, the shlamim, and the chatas are brought 30 days later. And so the three carbonos are brought, but with a significant 30-day delay in between the first Ola and then the other, the Chatzos and the Shlamim. And Rabbi Yehoshua says, and that bothers me. Okay? And one has to wonder, and the Gemara is going to wonder, well, why does it bother him? So the Avahodolo Chachamim Ben Zoma, the Chachamim said, you know what? Ben Zoma's solution's fantastic. Good. One person. You don't need to introduce somebody else. The Gemara says Valesi. So the Gemara over here says, you know, Rabbi Yehoshua's objection. How could it possibly be that you're going to bring your carbon ola after 30 days, and the chazos and shlamim are going to be brought 30 days later? Rabbi Yehoshua is so bothered by that. And the Gemara says, and I don't understand. What's the big deal? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Shmuel. I'm Rabbi Yehoshua. L'chadei basa talmidim. And Rabbi Yehuda Mishmol says Rabbi Yeshua wasn't really bothered. In other words, he just simply demonstrated shock just to see how the students would react. Okay, in other words, to be an effective teacher, okay, God willing, one day by me. So to be an effective teacher, so sometimes you have to say shocking things, right? You know it's ridiculous, but in other words, you want a reaction. In other words, you want to make sure that the Talmidim are listening. And so, okay, so say things that are, in other words, obviously at a later point in time, you'll clarify, but in other words, say things which are, they're going to demand a reaction, right? Now, don't be controversial, but in other words, but say things that are going to be sounding a little bit off, and hopefully the students are listening and they're going to correct you, and good. That's part of connecting. So, I'm Rav Nachman Maile Avile Rav Yeshua Ladaki de la Leisro. And then the Gemara ends a whole discussion, you know, the Gemara is all four lines. But then Rav Nachman says, you know, I have another criticism of Rav Yehoshua's solution, right? Rav Yehoshua was bring a friend. Bring a loyal friend along with you. So Rav Nachman says, you know, in that solution, there's going to be a small problem. And that is that remember, after shechting your karmi shlamim, so what's going to happen then is that you're going to be shaving your head. And if you remember earlier in the Masechta, you're not shaving your head in the Azara, you're going to have to leave the Azara, exit the Azara, shave your head, and then come back in again. And remember, back in the day, there wasn't refrigeration. So that means to say that there's going to be a little bit of a lag between the shechting of your Karmish Lamim, and then ultimately what's going to happen is that the leg is going to be cooked, and the Amorim are going to be brought up onto the Mizbech, but in other words, not immediately thereafter. It'll take a little bit of time. Okay. Now, Rav Nachman says, imagine now it's not one Nazir doing it, having to go get a haircut, but it's two Nazirim now having to go get a haircut. And so Rav Nachman says is that by the time the two of them come back, so you run the risk of spoilage. Now, it's interesting. He points to the dake. He points to the intestines. Okay, I don't know enough about decomposition of internal organs, but his assumption is that the intestines are going to be suffering from significant decay in a short amount of time. And now if I have not, it's not just me now. It's me and a friend who have to now leave and go get a haircut and then come back. So then you really run the risk of the spoilage of the intestines and the fat on the intestines. Okay. Interesting criticism, probably would be if, you know, left to my own devices, one of the last things I'd ever think about. But Rav Nachman says that should be a consideration. Okay, Adkan. Takes us to the end of today's daf. Tomorrow we'll start with the Mishnah, right? I kept promising the Mishnah and Nuntes, the Mishnah and Nuntes. Meanwhile, it's the last Mishnah on Nuntes and Beis, and so we get to save it till tomorrow. But assuredly, it's a doozy. Right? In other words, basically what's going to happen is it's going to give us another problem, a real whopper of a problem. Happens to be that we already did this Mishnah. In other words, we learned this Mishnah earlier, but we saw it back on Nun Zion. But we're going to be, and Nunhei. So this is now going to be the third time that we're going to be seeing this Mishnah, but we're going to see the actual Mishnah inside, and we're going to see the Gemara's discussion. That's coming up for tomorrow. Meanwhile, today, what do we have? Amud Aleph, Amud Beis. Amud Aleph, unbelievably interesting Gemara regarding cross-dressing. What is included in the Issur Torah of cross-dressing? Is it just simply the dress, or is it more than just simply the dress? So that was the first Amud of today's Daf. Included in that is a discussion of removing hair from your armpits, from private area. Is that going to be a violation? So Rav said no. Rav Yochanan says yes. And boy, is that an oversimplification of today's daf, because it's much more than that. In other words, a distinction may be between razor and scissors, even according, right? According to Rav Yochanan, no distinction between razor and scissors. Okay. But the first amud of today's daf is about the parameters and the Isser Torah of a man not putting on the clothing of a woman and a woman not putting on the clothing of a man. And we went through not only the positions of Rav and Rav Yochanan, we went over a number of braises as well. The braises are at odds with one another. The Gemara noted all that. Okay. Incorporated in this discussion is going to be not only the removing of hair, but possible heterim, regarding scissors, as I already pointed out, possible heterim in the cases of discomfort. Okay. Another part of the discussion. Amud Beis. And then we turn to the side two of today's daf and we go back to the eighth parak of Nazir. What happens when two people are Nazirim, but one of them is Tamei, we don't know which one? So see the first Mishnah. What happens is that if one of those two people died before we applied the solution, now what do? In the Mishnah Machlokas between Rabbi Yoshua ben Zoma, Rabbi Yoshua ben Zoma, in terms of what is going to be the proper solution. Rabbi Yeshua says, grab a friend off the street, ask him to become a Nazir, and the two of you now will navigate with bringing the Karbonis and a Tanai. Ben Zoma says, unnecessary. You could do it yourself. It's possible that you could bring the Karbonis yourself, and just simply the solution can be done exclusively by you. And the Gemara seems to favor the side of Ben Zoma's solution over that of Rabbi Yeshua.